So it is really a privilege to have Josh and Elle come up today. Come on.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Eric. The sermon I'm preaching today will be about unification, bringing God glorification. Because the territory is not ours. It's God's kingdom. Right? And that's the reason why Jabez prayed, may God expand my territory. It's not about health, wealth, prosperity, which scripture sometimes gets misconstrued. But it's about the kingdom advancing. It's about us coming together as armor bearers for each other and fighting for the kingdom. The reason why I started crying is because God has brought me through something. And if you've been through it in this room, which everybody has, just remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through it, it said someone like the Son of Man came in the midst of that fire. That's Jesus. Every time you've ever been through the fire, Jesus has been with you. Every time you've ever gone through something, a financial thing, maybe you got pregnant out of marriage, maybe you've seen divorce rampant in this generation. The Bible says that God will restore every year the locust has eaten. That's a promise because in him is yes and amen. And this man coming, who is going to be coming to your church, I've been listening to for years. You got a revivalist coming to preach to you guys. And that's what I am, a young revivalist. Studying under people like Billy Graham and Chuck Smith and Eric Villavasso and Pastor. All these people have been pouring into my life. And all I say is, God, I just want a double portion. And so meeting Chuck Stillwell last night, hearing his story, what he's been through, how his wife is in glory, how his daughter's in glory, how his son had a head-on collision. I hear things like that, and I realize whatever problems I have are minuscule. Because as men like him who've gone through their Job season, who get restored and blessed 100 times. Come on. What did Job say when his wife told him to curse God and die? He said, God gives and takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And we can know that God is good to us. That's what the word in English means. We get the word God from the word good in German. Isn't that interesting? Because in other languages it's Dios, right? Other languages it's Bog, like in Russian, Dios in Spanish, Dieu in French. But the Anglicans and the Germans and the English people knew that God was good. Do you know that God is good? Or do you let your problem take away from the blessing that God has given you? I heard something, and this is just the intro to my song. This guy spoke from Seattle. His name is Judah Smith, and he said something that blew my mind 8 years ago. He said, never let your problem take away your praise, but let your praise be a problem to your problem. I'm going to say that again. He said, never let your problem take away from your praise, but let your praise become a problem to your problem. Because Joshua did not knock walls down by worrying about those walls. He went in worship, he went in praise, and those walls were knocked down. Our praise will become a problem to our problem when we believe that every stronghold and everything in our way will be knocked down by the praise within us. Because the atmosphere of worship is where the presence of God dwells. And if God is dwelling, then come on, it gets a little deeper. Then his presence is fullness of joy. So therefore, you're never going to just mourn all the time. You're never going to complain all the time. You're going to thank God that in his presence is fullness. I'm a preacher. Singing is just a gift. But preaching is a calling. Because God never called you to lean on your gifting. He called you to have a calling and a character that will lift up your calling. See, there's so many talented people, but then those same men you hear about, they're so amazing and millions come to Christ, they had 10 affairs. They stole money from the church. We were yesterday with a pastor. The saddest thing I've ever heard, he is 84, he has dementia, he is in a wheelchair, and his daughter wept in my arms, and she told me that the secretary and administrative pastor of the church stole $250,000 from his retirement as he was getting dementia. His armor bearer of 30 years stole $250,000 of his retirement. We went in there, and we blessed them. I didn't know this situation, but Holy Spirit had a prophetic meeting with this man yesterday. And his wife got up, started praising God, speaking in tongues at 84 years old. His daughter started weeping. And this is what happens when you are obedient to God and you are sensitive to the compassion that's in you, right? 2 Corinthians 1 says, the God of all comfort will give you comfort to comfort those who have a need. There's a lot of people who have a need. Pastors that have had their retirement stolen. But I told him, your retirement is not here. I said, your 401k is eternity. You have a mansion of glory. God's treasures are waiting for you. And he started raising his hands. And he could barely move because he had a stroke. He moved more yesterday than they said he'd moved in 3.5 years. But let me tell you why he really moved, because the Spirit of God had moved. This is real. This is just the way here. I wasn't supposed to stop there. Just was going to be real quick, and God had to stay for 2.5 hours. What I'm saying is, if God wants you to linger a little longer, come on, you need to wait. We're so busy. A lot of you guys got your grandkids' performances, soccer tournaments, you're having babies, you're doing this. But do we take time to sit before God's feet anymore? I know this. I just drove 1,900 miles to get here. But thank God I had a lot of time to worship. Yeah, I put already about 2,000 miles in my car in 3 days. But it was worth it. It's worth it to be with my brethren, to be with the church that I prayed over this very grounds. And so one of my really good friends came with me on this trip. His name is actually a lot closer to a state around here in Texas, because his name is Dallas. I thought it would be Seattle, but it's like, nah, bro, my name is Dallas. And I'm going to introduce him in a few minutes, but I'm going to do a very special song for you guys this morning that I wrote after I was restored. And so it's a very special song to me, and I will be debuting it today to you guys. Please play it. It's called Rest. Turn it up a little bit. Hearing the monitors too. It's a beautiful song.
Days are short and the winter's long. Somehow I'm supposed to be on the ground is golden, but so am I. I grow weary as each day passes by.
So this is a song about seasons you go through.
My heart is tired and weak. Oh God, it's your rest that I seek. In you I find rest. In you I am blessed. In you I'm restored. I find rest in the Lord.
Come on.
The sun is out and spring is here. The clouds are gone and the sky is finally clear. Oh, how I feel,
you guys can clap.
So blessed. But oh, how my soul still needs some rest. There's still so much to be done. Always on the run. My heart is tired and weak. Oh God, it's your rest that I seek.
Say in you.
In you I find rest.
Say in you I am blessed.
In you I am blessed.
In you I'm restored.
I find rest in the Lord.
How many need some rest today?
There is no reason for me to doubt, cause in any season I call out in a prayer. You are there cause you care so much for me. Yeah, there is a season pour me the doubt, cause in any season I call out and with a cry you arrive and you cry and you comfort me.
Raise your hand, say in you.
In you I find rest.
In you I am blessed. I'm restored.
I'm restored. I find rest in the Lord.
I find rest in the Lord. Sing it with me.
I find rest in the Lord.
That's the God that we serve. In Hebrews it says, and my people shall enter my rest. I can't wait for the day we don't have to toil, we don't have to strive, we don't have to wake up at 5 in the morning to go to work, right? It's only because Adam and Eve bit an apple that we have to do that. But we get to rest in Jesus. If you guys could give a warm Shiloh welcome to a good friend of mine named Dallas Hicks, please give it up for Dallas.
Shiloh, how you guys doing? Woo! Man, the faith is getting turned up in here tonight, or today, whatever you want to call it. So I'm a little bit more energetic than Josh, okay? But man, I just got a passion to serve Christ, amen? I got a passion because God took what he did for me. And if he did what he did for me, I know that he can do for you. When I was 22 years old, I went through a murder case. I saw a friend of mine. One of my friends got shot when she was 8 months pregnant. It was a double homicide murder. But you want to know the outcome to that? The night before she was murdered, I got to lead her to Christ. My ex-wife cheated on me 4 times. 4 times. I didn't want nothing to do with God. But how many know that God restores? I've been married over 10 years now. I've been married to the same woman. And I love her to death. Amen. My wife has had 9 miscarriages. 9 miscarriages. But I do not let my faith go down for nothing because I still believe in God of heaven. I believe that he will put a seed in my wife. I believe if it's a boy or it's a girl, he's given her a little dog, giving us a little dog, a little Pomeranian, just to comfort her. Right? See the situations? You go from a murder case, from God, from the murder case to God saving me through the murder case. Me bringing me to Christ. And I just want to tell you that God is great. God is amazing. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross for you. Nails were driven in his hands, nails were driven in his feet, and a crown was shoved in his skull because every one of you are worth it. So on any kind of day when you're feeling down and you feel depressed, you don't feel like nobody loves you, just know that God will never leave you nor forsake you, and you can rest in him. Amen? Praise God. So I'm just here to encourage you. I want to do one song tonight. This is called Sunday Fun Day, right? How many people have faith in here? Right? Woo! And it's Sunday, right? It's Sunday. Can we turn up for God? Sunday is a fun day. Faith is supposed to be fun. When you read your word, you're not supposed to be like, oh, I got to read it today. You're supposed to be excited and expect God to move because you know that when you read something, it's going to be powerful and it's going to retain to your life and God will speak to you. You can read that same message over and over again and he will speak to you differently each time. Amen? So if you guys could get on your feet for me, if you guys want to come up here and just have fun, we're just going to have a party, a Holy Ghost party for Jesus. Amen. I'm going to teach you the hook real quick before I play it. So it goes, la, 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 la. Say. It's going to be a fun day. Try it again. La, 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 la. Say. And
It's going to be a fun day. All right, we're going to see how this is going to work. I don't know. All right, guys, you ready? Let's go. Go ahead and turn that up. You can clap. You can kick. You can do whatever you want. Come on. Go ahead, turn it up. Say, la, la, la. Hey, come on. Say,
okay, let's put the water in the cooler. Feel a sunny day to live like a Lollapalooza. I see you checking out the way that I maneuver. Till I serve a God that never, never gonna lose ya. Oh no, you took me from beyond my young culture. Hey, it's a time to launch over. Today we're trapping the one that song's over. And then we got me beyond the ambrosia. Hey, the same God that turned water into wine. Now I feel so familiar. I can't depart it cause it got me out the blind. When the devil trying to kill me, my intro, whatever, really outro. Plus a couple bottles and I still don't roll about Joe. Hey, but even though they bout though, hey, cause it's a Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Party over here, party over there, huh. It's gonna be a fun day. Sunshine over there, blowing everywhere. It's gonna be a fun day. La 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 la. What?
It's gonna be a fun day.
Say, la 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 la. It's gonna be a fun day. La 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 la. Sunday, fun day, Sunday. La 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 la.
Sunday, fun day, Sunday.
La 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 la. Fun day. Come on, put your hands up. La 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 la. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now Sunday is a fun day. We only praise one God, we go one way. Hallelujah, now raise them up high. Strong and brothers, rub your eyes in the sky. Hit the beach, got Jesus in the convo. Barbecue with the kids, that's a combo. And you ain't gotta be rich and have a condo. No, all you gotta do is love them with your heart and soul. All you gotta do is let the past just go. Be yourself and let the whole world know. I know that I'm not a quitter. I know that my God delivers. I run from sin like a sprinter. He'll take your pain, yes, he's with ya. Now I'ma ride the wave just like a surfboard. On a mission, no rose, but I thank God. Gotta give him all the praise on this earth more. Hey, it's gonna be a good day. Dominoes with the fellas, it's a weekend. I used to be with the tights on the deep end. Found a father that can strengthen my weakness. Make this fun, it's a Sunday.
Come on,
Sunday. Party over here, party over here. Say, it's gonna be a fun day. Sunshine over here, wind blowing everywhere. Say,
it's gonna be a fun day.
La 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 la. Say,
it's gonna be a fun day.
La 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 la. Say,
it's gonna be a fun day.
Come on, la la la. Say, fun day, Sunday. La 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 la. Say, la la la. Come on. Fun day, la 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 la. Come on, la 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 la. Say, la 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 la. Say, la 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 la. Say, la 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 la. Say, I'm DX. I love you guys. God bless y'all.
It is a fun day, amen? If you think about it, that kind of reminds me of what David must have done when the ark was restored, right? Because he came back, he said he was dancing in his linens. He was dancing with joy before the Lord. And he wrote psalms, which are kind of rhythmic, right? I'll tell you why I'm a rapper and he's a rapper. Because you look at the Psalms and a lot of it seems like they're lyricism, they're haikus, they're things that do that. And what rap was actually invented to do was to convey a point. That's why people like Lecrae and Toby Mac and all these people, they can write a sermon and they can present it through their music. Or you can have ones that are giving glory to God and having joy. And that's what God created us to do, is be joyful. It's powerful that Nehemiah 8:10, in the midst of him rebuilding the walls, Sanballat, Tobias, and others were attacking him. He was going through something.
He had been released and given the products and the goods to rebuild the city. But then some adversity came his way. All right? Attacks. How many times when you think you're ready to rebuild something in your life does the enemy come and attack you? Right? Or your own family member reminds you of the things you've done. Well, you're never going to be this way because you did this. But the Bible always says a prophet is not without honor in his own area. Sometimes the ones that are closest to you can hurt you the most. That's why the Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. What did Jesus say? You know, the most profound thing that he said on the cross was, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because he knew that people get caught in their sin and caught in judgment and caught in living rampant in this world, and they don't even know why. Because Proverbs 4:19 states a step further. It says they stumble in darkness and they don't even know why. Think about that. People who stumble, they're in darkness. So we're called to love them and to reach out to them and draw them back to the light. You know what? One of the ugliest things I've seen in church my whole life is gossip about those who went astray. The Bible says we're called to leave the 99. There's no room for gossip. There's no room for slander in the church, guys. Pray. Fast. Get on your knees. Don't believe a rumor about somebody that you heard in another city. They've gone through something. They went through a divorce. They went through this. You trust that God is faithful and that he called you to reach and restore, because Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, "You who are spiritual, restore someone in the spirit of gentleness, lest you be tempted." I'm going to tell you two reasons that says lest you be tempted. First of all, to judge and gossip. Second of all, that you will go and sin against that person, or you'll get caught up in the same thing with them. It's a powerful verse. It says that we're to restore, but with the spirit of gentleness. It's hard for men, because when we feel disrespected, when we feel like we've given enough notices, enough warnings, all right, the hammer's coming down. But God never did that. God never did that to you, else you'd be dead. Our sin has separated us from God, but the chasm was brought together when Jesus went like this. Come on. His arms were on the cross so we could walk into eternity. So we could walk away from the old life and not return like a dog to his vomit. The Bible says we forget what lies behind and we press on towards the upward call in Christ Jesus. I can't remember yesterday's sin anymore. See, there's a reason why manna was called to be taken daily. Because our provision in God's word should be daily. See, things begin to rot when we don't stay in God's word. Things begin to go bad when we don't. And we're like, God, he's this genie in the bottle that we rub 5 months later, right? Oh, I've gone 5 months without reading, but God, I need you. He'll still bless you and save you, but then he allows some ramifications, doesn't he? The Bible says he chastens those he loves. I thank God I've gotten some spankings by my heavenly Father. But then that same hand came, right? And he used a staff and he used a rod. He used both in my life. And he does the same in yours. Today I'm going to speak to you about unification, bringing God glorification. And you'll see it up here on the screen. I chose this graphic. Oh yeah, we're going to watch this video. Go ahead, turn it up.
He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him, for yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's my king. Is that your king? Come on. You know that same king was born with animals and died with criminals. Have you ever thought about that? He was born with animals and died with criminals. Because he came to save every animal and every criminal in this world. The name of the message today is Unification Brings God Glorification. And I'm going to start off here in the scripture, Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 33. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Thought about today being the day of Pentecost, about the purpose of it, the process of it, what had happened. And here we see in the book of Acts something that I've seen displayed at this church for 10 and a half years of me coming here. I've stayed with people like Brandon. I've stayed with Eric and Raquel. I've stayed at houses I never even knew the people. I've stayed with Chuck last night. I've gone to people's places from multiple churches, but everybody has nothing but good things to say about this church. Why? Because the spirit here is like this. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say the things that he possessed was his own, but everyone had all things in common. But with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Profound passage. See, it first says that nothing that you have is your own because God gave it. But when you see a need for a brother or sister that's going through it, you help them. A place for someone to sleep, you give it to them. A food for someone who's not having a big belly like me, who's maybe a little skinnier, needs a bite to eat. You mamas who make some cookies say, come on over, right? It's a blessing. Maybe young men need an older man in the church here. And you have something to impart. That's the word today for you, an impartation. I prayed that would come for you from me today. I would decrease, but he would increase. Because if the Son of Man is lifted up, then he will draw all men. And the powerful thing about this verse is not just sharing and caring about then sharing because you care about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it then says that great grace was on them. Do you go to the supermarket and share your faith? Are you willing to go to the streets? Because one of the biggest things I've sensed when I came to this, and I'm going to share the truth. I went to the high school years ago here. Buena Vista, right? Buena. And I saw the first lesbian and gay club I had ever seen at any high school I'd ever preached at in 15 years, because I'd been preaching for years. That's infiltrated your city years ago. because of divorce. Because the fathers went off to the military, and then somebody said, well, our marriage isn't good. The dad's not around. So then that person thought, well, I don't have a father figure, so I'm going to find the void and try to fill it in another way. The only thing that can fill the void is Jesus Christ. And the word of the Lord in Isaiah 55:11 says, it shall not return void, but it will accomplish in the thing in which I sit and will prosper in that very thing. So great grace falls on you to speak to those young ladies and men who have an identity that's not in Jesus. The word imago Dei means the image of God. It's the very word for his creation. We are the imago Dei. We are made in the image of God. Black, white, brown, yellow, kind of tan, whatever we are, right? This is my brother. This is my brother. We all look a little different, but we have the same Jesus. I'm telling you, this city needs Jesus even more with all that. That was 10 years ago when I saw that. And I couldn't believe it. And those girls came to my concert and they rocked out, but then they were trying to do stuff that I'm like, hey, guys, not here, you know? That's what I experienced the first time I came was that. And it broke my heart. Then some of your guys' own family members had issues for a season. I saw that through Facebook. I've seen girls in this church that got pregnant out of wedlock. Do I curse them? Do I say things ill? No, I bless. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift, which is the word for grace as well, right? Unmerited, unbestowed favor given from God is upon us. Come on. Nothing that you have done can ever say you're eternally damned. I'll say that word because Jesus can cover it all. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is something I don't understand. I'm not going to preach on. That's a hard thing for me to understand how that works. Right? I believe, though, if your name is in the book of life, he's not going to just take an eraser on that one day. The thing he took the eraser to was to your sin on the cross. God is faithful. Says that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. A unity in John chapter 17, verse 22, if you have your Bibles open there. In John 17, this to me is the Lord's Prayer. We love saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But here's Jesus right here. In John chapter 17, it says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And we know what John 13 says. It says that they will know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love. So he takes it a step further about becoming one with the Father and him and the love that he gave. Because greater love had no one than this to lay his life down. I get emotional thinking about what God did for me. Because sometimes we get so comfortable being a Christian and we're living a good life, everything's a checklist. I went to church, I went to Bible study, I went to communion, I went to pre-prayer. I'm good. No, Christianity isn't a four-day-a-week checklist. It's a 24/7 every day of your life. If he gave everything to you, you could give everything back to him. If you have a God that came and lived and breathed and then breathed his last, his blood was gushing out of his side, out of his head, out of his hands, out of his wrists, out of his feet, then you can live your life in every breath for Jesus. You can sing for Jesus. You can preach for Jesus. You can rap for Jesus. He gave you that breath, so use that breath for him. Amen? Come on. That's what the word pneuma is. It's life, it's breath, it's spirit given to you. The word here about glory in John 17 is the word doxa. The word doxa is a powerful thing. It means to praise, glory, and bring honor to God. Isn't that powerful? So the word glory actually means to praise. And one thing I thought when I came here today, I hugged her and prayed with someone else earlier. And as I prayed, the Lord gave me a word about this church. He said, it's a culture of honor. Everybody in here, from the ushers to the greeters to the worship team to the people to the pastors to the ministers to the sound team to the tech team, has been honoring the moment I came in here. Just some young kid from Seattle. But yet, there was an honor here because the honor is here. Why do people rise when the judge comes in and they call him your honor? You guys respect Jesus so much that you honor those around you. That is a powerful thing. I don't see that in other churches. And I'm telling you the truth from preaching for the last 20 years of my life to 30-something countries. I've been to mega churches where everybody in the church can't wait to go out to eat. They can't wait to see their friend more than God at church. Hey, we all fall short in that, don't we? Like, I wonder if they're going to be at church today. I can't wait to see them. That's awesome. But do we hunger for God so much that we want his presence? Yeah. Come on, Moses said, I don't want to go if your presence does not go before me. I'm going to preach like the guy coming out this week because I'm a preacher too. I said that on this trip that I do not want to drive to Sierra Vista to rap, to preach, if God's presence isn't before me. But even today as I came in, I already prayed with multiple people here, and they prayed for me, and then we went back in the office and prayed over the service. And I've been praying for 5 months since I was asked to preach. Let me tell you, Billy Graham's ministry only succeeded because he sent people months before to the cities that he preached in, and they prayed over the city. Come on, who's the next Billy Graham in this room? Who's the next Reinhard Bonnke? Who's the next A.A. Allen? Are somebody going to go and redeem that land one day? That's my prayer. Man, when I read God's Generals, and I had gone there with Eric years ago, and Jorge told me all about it, his brother. And as he described it to me, I was like, I got to read the book God's Generals. I read that book. Then I read the history of Willem Brenham and A.A. Allen. And these are the great awakenings. But I believe we're on the cusp of a third great awakening. And it's not going to be a one-time revival and then all of a sudden it disappears. It's going to be an everlasting revival till we are with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever. And we will be saying, holy, holy is the Lamb and worthy is the Lamb. When we say holy, 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 worthy, all we're doing is giving glory and honor and exonerating the Lord and the King of Kings. So the culture that you have created in this church that the Holy Spirit through you has created is going to be in heaven. That was the word for you guys today. You have a heavenly atmosphere here because of the way you honor. Here's this guy, Chuck Stillwell, who doesn't stay awake past 8:30, right? And he didn't realize we're driving 13 hours, right? So he's like, at 12 in the afternoon, are you guys almost here? Eric calls me. I'm like, Eric, man, we left, bro. We've been driving for 1,400 miles already. You know, so Chuck stayed up till almost midnight. Listen, it was amazing though. We chopped it up, which means we talked, we fellowshiped for almost 3 hours. And he told me so many things, and he kept wanting to go to bed, but he kept coming back. He came back 7, 8, 9 times. And would tell us about miracles and seeing people's faces grow back and Andrew Womack's ministry. And I believe that God can do the same thing here in Sierra Vista that he's doing in Colorado with Andrew Womack, that he's doing with people like Jensen Franklin and people that are going and serving God all over America, the Matt Chandlers of the world, the Tim Kellers of the world, the Eric Villavasos of the world, the pastors of this world. You are the next generation that will be raised up for God's glory. Timothy wasn't super young. He's probably my age. And it, he said, don't let anyone despise your youth. Man, some of you guys got gray and silver. Come on. It's a crown of glory. It's a crown of wisdom. And I'm here to speak life into you. Because people feel forgotten when they get older and they see all the young people on their phones all the time. Right? I can't even have a conversation with a young person without them being like this anymore. It's weird. No, it is. And when I go to people's houses and I visit their cities and they tell their kids to put away their phone during dinner, I love that. Right? There's power to that. To occupy kids, all my sister does is give them tablets. How are we training this next generation that everything always has to be rapidity and fast and this and that? When the Bible says, be still and know I am God. I'm a rapper. I'm fast. But God has a way of slowing me down. Come on. The only reason I didn't have the energy that Dallas had because my song wasn't meant that way. And he said it. So I might have a challenge with him this week. We're going to start jogging. We're going to start running. We're going to go to the gym. We're going to start evangelizing. We're going to go to the park with the youth pastor and his wife. They were talking about it today with me. Guys, we're here for a week. Let today overflow. Invite people to see a rapper. Maybe you don't like it because you're a little older or whatever. Who cares? I don't usually play hymnal songs all the time, right? But I love them, right? It is well within my soul, blesses me. What Charles Wesley wrote, 18,000 hymns. They bless me to this day. I'm just more of a modern hymn writer, right? Come on. God is faithful. He promises to restore every year the locust is eaten. Maybe he won't restore that situation because it's temporal. Like him. He got remarried and has a great marriage now. Divorce doesn't disqualify you from serving God. I was told that because I'll tell you the truth. I planted a church. One week into my church plant, my wife runs away. And she was my worship leader. And lied and slandered me to everybody. And I turned my phone off. I turned my Facebook off and my Instagram. And the pastors of the church I grew up with slandered and smeared my name. But God told me one thing. You cannot touch the Lord's anointed during that time. Whew. Oh, I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter. Everything in me wanted to fight for my name and my reputation and the lies that were being spread. I lost 30, 40,000 friends. I was a major evangelist. But God says, that's just the beginning, young man. He said, if you don't have your encounter like Job and Joseph and Peter and James and John and Jesus, how will I ever elevate you to love like me? If you can't see through the eyes of Jesus. It still hurts because I lost something that was great, but God says the bride is what's greater than your bride. There are lost souls. There are people that need Jesus. There are hurting people. There are people that are dying and that are born in ways that we don't have the doctor's explanation for. But we trust God for our little son prematurely born. We trust God for our daughter who got pregnant out of marriage. We trust God that he will bring a young minister that will take the reins but will give it to others because this is a united effort for the kingdom and for the glory of God. These last 4 years of my life, I have learned not to slander. I've learned not to gossip because that's what God wanted to do was allow humility to be the key to advancing my life. I wasn't even going to share that. But what do I got to hide? You're naked before the Lord. He sees every one of you guys naked right now, right? He sees your soul. He sees your spirit, your heart, your mind. He knows everything that's been done to you, that you've done to others. But he says, I don't even look at that. As far as the east is from the west, we got a God that can save and can serve and that can love you despite your flaws. How many of you got an argument on the way here with your spouse? Well, where are you going to go to lunch? What are you going to do? It always seems like right before church, something comes up. You're going to be late. And you're like, dang it, I'm the pastor. I'm not going to be late before the guest speaker. I got my wife coming for announcements. I got this. I got that. It's okay. That's why I sung you the song, Rest. See, when I came out of my depression a couple years ago, I felt like I had to always keep going. And I went across America 45,000 miles. And I saw Eric on the second week. I was gone for another 3 months. After that, God allowed that. And then he said, now I want you to go rest. Then I wrote that song. I just showed it to Eric today for the first time. Sometimes the ugliest situations become the most beautiful piece of art. God's masterpiece because he's the master who brings peace. Come on. Think about that. God's masterpiece is in your life because he's the master that brings peace. It's why he's from Yerushalom, the city of peace. Come on. And then he's called the Prince of Peace because a prince reigns. Jesus can reign supreme in your life and bring peace in your life. I love Charles. I've known this guy forever, and see him worshiping today stirred my soul. My man came and gave me a hug, says, I've missed you. And I said, brother, I've missed you too. And then I would give him a hug again because there's three cities in America that are my home, Seattle, Sacramento, and Sierra Vista. They all start with an S. Really interesting, right? And I tell people in Sacramento, which basically is the capital of America because California has the most people, has all the things that start there, all the fashion, all the movies. The word sacrament is something set apart for the use of God. I said, don't you guys even know the very name of your city means to be used by God? My homeboy right here is from Sacramento. So his very city means he's set apart as sacred. We get the word sacred as well. Erica's right. I like words. Words have power. God didn't create the earth by having to build it and go like this. He spoke and it became. The word for Hebrew word is bara. He came and it came out of nothing. So he didn't have to borrow, but he spoke bara and it became. Profound insight that God gives us. God didn't have to borrow anything. Satan's a counterfeit. That's why it says he masquerades as an angel of light. That's why Moroni came to Joseph Smith. That was the devil. I'm going to say it. Even though the church is only 100 feet over there, I bless them. You know why, though? I bless them. Because when you're raised in a certain way, you don't know any better. Because we are called to love them and teach them and show them. In 1 Peter 3:15, one of the greatest verses, the word defense is the word apologia, where we get the word apologetics, to means to defend your faith. But it says with meekness and trembling. So you don't go cram the gospel down somebody's throat. I'm a passionate person, but I know how to cry. When this morning Chuck and I, he got up at 6 a.m. and I got up at 5:45. Even though I went to bed at 2. I just, when I preach, I listen to worship all night. I got up this morning, listened to worship, was in prayer, was in my word. I'm like, God, I don't want to come and give out of my own cup. I need you to fill me up today. He got up right after I did, and I'm like, all right, I'm getting up. And then we talked, and he proceeded to tell me something about Eric, how he was one of his son's best friends, and I never knew this, that his own son's wife had ran away too. And then he was on a head-on collision and almost died. I started weeping before this man I had just met the night before, and then it made me realize that some things that we go through aren't even in comparison. They pale in comparison to somebody else's pain. Yeah, that's right. Don't ever let your pain determine who you are. Right. It'll actually determine who you will become. Mm. God allows pain in our life for a reason. He never wastes an ounce of our pain. This isn't even part of my message. It's for everybody in this room. Racism is prevalent still to this day. I live in Seattle, and all of us try to get along, but then I see people in the South. I kind of feel like this is the Southwest. There's probably a lot of people that like Trump, don't like Trump. People are mad that there's a border, then they're happy because some of you work for the Border Patrol. We live in such a divided country. But one thing we can agree on is the Bible says Jesus is yesterday, today, the same. He is immutable, right? Never changing. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19 that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man should he repent. Has he said and will he not do it? And has he spoken and then he will make it good? That's the best part. Everything God has spoken and prophesied throughout Scripture is going to become good one day. America doesn't seem to be going down that road with all these things. Marijuana is going to be legalized across the world now. All the countries are coming together to do that. We know the very word for sorcery is the word pharmakeia. So when we start to dumb it down that it's just the green of the earth, no, there's things that are of the earth that I'm not going to go eat. I'm not going to go eat some petroleum. I'm not going to go take some uranium and eat it. Why are we going to go smoke a product that's out there, do some things just because God created it? He created something and he told Adam and Eve not to touch it. Whew. I believe that same thing that is now we don't need to touch. Come on. Very controversial because a lot of y'all are like, oh man, well I got back pains. I got eye problems. Well, is prayer more powerful than weed? Oh. Or is there something that can make you feel better than God? I'm coming here to challenge the church today. Anything that we put before God is called idolatry. Marijuana is idolatry. My homeboys that are Christian rappers, some of them try to blaze blunts, and I'm like, bro, that's idolatry. People that think it's okay to go so far but not fornicate all the way is idolatry. Then what I wrote for my sermon today, idolatry equals adultery. Because you're cheating on God with something you put before God. Idolatry is adultery because you're cheating on God, the adultery part, with idolatry, something you put before God. Have you ever thought about that? It's good to be a rapper sometimes because those things come. But then God said to me, idolatry is adultery because both of them are cheating on God and putting something before God. Some of you have done that with your children. It's hard. Mamas love their kids. Husbands love their wives. Men love their jobs. But none of that can go before God. See, does it say seek first the kingdom of your children? Seek first the kingdom of your spouse? Seek first the kingdom of your job? It says seek first the kingdom of God and all the in his righteousness, and then everything will be added unto you. My identity is not in my rap ability. Even when people like it, I love that people are blessed, because I've had kids write me notes saying, I did not commit suicide because of your song the other night. Oh, as a minister, when you hear that, you're like, thank you, Jesus. But then the point I want them to know is God's love and his word is powerful. Romans 12:16. I'm going a little bit long, but this is from God today. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Then it says, do not be conceited. It's a hard one, because when you have a gift, you want people to know about it, right? But then, are you promoting? Are you politicking? Right? My friend told me that one time. He said, Josh, be careful not to be a campaigner. Don't be politicking with what you can do. He goes, because it was already done. Don't be politicking and campaigning for things that you promote more than God. God will lift you up and elevate you to places you would never have dreamed. Last year, when I got brought back, I went to 11 countries on 4 world trips last year. For over $20,000 of traveling around the world, I only spent $800. People sewed in. I'd wake up, there'd be a check in the mail for $1,000 from somebody. And I never took the money for anything but ministry. So God, when he says he supplies all your need according to his riches and glory, let me tell you, I quit my job back in December at FedEx of 3 years to be a full-time evangelist. I've never been late on my bills. But there's times I have $20 to my name and I'm like, God, I'm not going to write a GoFundMe account on Facebook. I'm a trust. And then somebody cash apps me $200. Right? So if you have sensitivity to somebody who has a need, go on that. You never know what need they need. And Book of James speaks all about it. Be sensitive to God. Be sensitive in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but associate with low people. What I prayed today with Eric in the back was something from God. I prayed about the woman who had the bleeding internally for 12 years. In order for her to have breakthrough, she had to push through. So whenever you are praying for breakthrough, there's times you got to push through the noise, the crowd, the people that are saying, get away from me, because she was called unclean, unclean. She wasn't supposed to come out in the daytime. And she came out because she knew Hosanna was there. Can we come to Jesus when people tell us that we're not worthy, we're not beautiful enough, we've been through a divorce, we've had things said about us that aren't true, and we've believed the lies? Because all that Satan is the father of lies, but we got the father of lights who will destroy any lie, and his name is Jesus. And so today, to encourage you, your breakthrough comes because you got to push through the noise and the crowds around you and reach out. If all you can do is reach out and even touch the hem of God's garment, he will heal you. Isn't that profound? Yeah. Yeah. You got to push through for your breakthrough. Yeah. Yeah. I had to push through the most painful thing of my life, and I didn't understand why, because I've always been a sweet person. But God had to make me even sweeter. He's like, it can't be dependent on your abilities anymore. He goes, I'm going to have to take the natural and put the super in that natural. And that's the thing now, is I'm like, God, you're supernatural. I used to make good money working at Costco. I used to make good money being a full-time rapper because I get honorariums. I don't even tell churches I want honorariums, but they bless me. People in the congregation will come up to me and say, where'd you come from? I'm like, I just dropped $300 of gas to get here. They're like, well, here, let me fill your tank up. These things happen when you trust God as Jehovah Jireh. He has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. He supplies your need according to his riches. Wait, whose riches? His. If you know anything about God, he is the richest. That video I played for you describes the thoughts that I wish I could have articulated. That guy is way more articulate than I am. And I'm like, God, I want a double portion that day so I can speak truth to people who need it. Because some of us come in and we're so comfortable that we've lived in a routine of Christianity.
But God wants to break that because he said, I have new wine for new wineskin for you. And that was the word today for you guys. This has been an awesome church, but God is wanting some new wineskin. He wants to start expanding a little bit more. He wants to start bringing the churches even more together. And you guys are going to be the forerunners for uniting the churches here in Sierra Vista. God showed me that for the last 5 months. So I created the sermon. And I'm going to invite the team up because I'm not even going to do the rest of my sermon because God obviously had something else. I'm going to close with Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. If you have your Bibles or your apps on your phone, we're going to close with this. And I'm going to invite Pastor and Eric and Raquel and Pastor's wife up to the front to pray for people. So both pastors and their wives, you guys come up here. And Dallas as well. Dallas, go over there. This verse right here is the consummate verse. It's the verse of the end of the day. It's the very verse that I waited till the very end to share about unity. But it's about something that will bind us together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says this. It says, above all things and virtuous things, put on love, for it will bind us together in perfect unity. I'm going to close with that one more time. It says, above all things, put on love, which will bind us together in perfect unity. Everything that we've ever needed in life is brought together by one word, love. Because Jesus was love. God is love. We always talk about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, but there's a chapter in the Bible that actually overcomes that with the word love. It's John, 1 John chapter 4. And it says that we love because he first loved us. And it speaks then about perfect love casting out fear. I sense that there's been some fear in this room about your children, about your 401ks, about things that are happening. I want everybody to stand with me right now. And I'm going to invite pastors up here to pray. And I'm going to pray out loud while they pray. If you have a need, whether it be emotional, psychological, spiritual, financial, maybe you've been through something that you're still going through, right? And you're not understanding why it's not taken. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, God, take this thorn from me. And he prayed 3 times and agonized over it. Jesus said, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Thy will be done. Sometimes God's will allows us to go through things and we don't understand, but he is faithful because it says that he will complete what he began. I'm going to pray over you, but as the worship team starts to worship with this song after I'm done praying, I'd love you guys to come up for prayer. If you need to know Jesus in your heart, come talk to us. And I'm not going to do an altar call where I'm going to have you ask Jesus in your heart. It's about living a lifestyle. Why? A lot of times Billy Graham says this. He says he wished he could have discipled everyone who came to his crusades. And so recently, as I was listening to the Holy Spirit speak something to me, he said this to me. He said, God is not looking for people to be converted, but people to be committed. The point of the gospel is not to convert as many people as you can. It says make disciples. And so I'm going to pray right now that you would become disciples, even no matter what age you are. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone in this room, from the ministers to the lay people to the kids to the young men that are here, that they would be discipled, God. I pray that those who've already been discipled would disciple and make disciples. And the world says that that's the great commission. We do it together. Father God, I pray for the great commission to start spreading even greater here at Sierra Vista. The legacy that has been left here, that has been built here through Pastor, his wife, their children, their grandchildren, their spiritual Timothys. Father God, we pray for furtherance. I pray, God, that his latter years would be his greater years, God. He's not retired. He's inspired. You've inspired him to do the things. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and then training in righteousness. I have this word from God for you. You're called to continually train people in righteousness. No matter what. So Father God, I pray, Lord, is that word about discipleship and training others in righteousness would come. That right now, God, that you would do that, Lord. That you would bring pastor into this room, into this place with you.
I just pray for him. God, I thank you, Lord, for the dream and the vision all those years ago. It says, without a vision, people perish. There's a lot of people here right now who are not perishing because of a vision, because of a dream, because of a helpmate, a Deborah, a Esther, a Ruth. So, Father God, a Lydia, someone who opens our homes, who is beautiful inside and out, Father God. And I pray, God, for anybody here who feels less worthy, anyone here who feels tainted. That was the word God just shared with me right now. Father God, I pray against people who feel tainted right now. God, you can cleanse, you can restore, you can redeem every situation, every person, every thought and burden. And Father God, if anyone has a need that's real, don't let them be ashamed. The Bible says, I am unashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. Here's the word for salvation. It means deliverance. It's not eternity, it's deliverance. So if you need some deliverance, come up and do not be ashamed. And as my brother leads us in worship, I will pray with people.